Psalms 119, 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." If you want to put a title on this, just call it, "It's Settled." Amen. Of course, you know, I got a saying from my father, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And he had that in the flyleaf of his Bible. Many of you that know him have heard him say it many times. And I just picked it up. But "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." And then, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Let's look at some significance of that saying. God said it. This verse indicates that the word was settled as far as God is concerned from the time he spoke it. Forever. Forever. "O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." He said it, and that's it. He's not taking it back. He's not changing it. You know, one guy one time was criticizing Dad, and he said, "The problem with Brother Hagin is, and those who believe like he does, is that they take the word of God literally." I'm serious. This guy was talking, and he was, you know, criticizing Dad, and then those that believe like he does. Well, the truth is, if you'd learn to take the word of God literally, you'd have what it says you can have. You might ask, why should we take the word of God literally? If you take the word of God literally, it puts you in a position to receive everything that God said belongs to us. You know, if you don't believe, if somebody tells you something and you don't believe it, you'll never get a hold of it. Like if somebody just comes up and they said, "Hey, I just left you $100,000, and here's the account number, and it's yours." If you didn't believe that their word, you'd never have the benefit of that money. You know, it's so funny. We take natural word literally and yet don't take the word of God. How many of you have worked a job, and as you were working the job, they told you, "Now, you're going to get so much money pay raise every month"? Anybody ever had that happen? How many of you have went out and purchased something because they told you that on your next paycheck you were going to see certain amount of dollars increased? Let me think of it. You took their word literally. Right? And you believed it. It's the same thing with the word of God. The same thing. You know, the bottom line is, if we take the word of God literally, then we receive what it says. 1 Peter 2:24, we know what it says. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." Now that scripture is very interesting, because there are a lot of evangelicals and even some spirit-filled people that take the first part of this verse literally. They don't have any problem dealing that Christ died on the cross, that we have righteousness and so forth. But those same people don't take the last part of that verse scripture, you know, by whose stripes you were healed. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Some of these people say, well, they just mean, he means spiritual healing. No, he didn't. That's not what it said. When a person, you know, they just heal their spirit. Well, you don't, when you're born again, your spirit don't get healed. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. That has nothing to do with healing. Yet some people try to put it that way. If you want to receive healing, you've got to believe what that said. You got to believe it. You got to take that verse literally. There is no doubt in most people's mind, that, especially Christians, that God's word is settled in heaven. It's unchanging. It will remain the same forever. He said in his word, I am the Lord and I change not. Okay, his word is settled. Is the word settled in your heart? God said it. I believe it. Now, you're the ones going to have to make up your mind where you're at on that situation. That's just me. I've been that way for a lot of number of years now. See, you've got to decide if you believe the word of God literally and then act like it's so. You know, we can have whatever the word says. We all quote Mark 11:24 all the time. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. People don't have any trouble with that. People sometimes, you know, they try to make excuses why they can't have what the word says. It's very simple why they can't have the word said. They're not believing it. And they're not confessing it. And they're not acting like it is so, or acting on the word. You've got to believe the word. And when you ask him, you got to believe you receive it. Whether you see it, feel it, or not. Come on, don't look at me like that. That is the basis of faith. Now, go back to that money that they told you was going to have. You didn't have it, you couldn't see it, you didn't feel it, but you believed it and you acted on it. Come on now. That is the same thing with the Word of God. When you pray and ask, he goes into action. Just because it doesn't happen immediately, many people will begin to lose their faith. You got to hold on to it. Sometimes the Lord has to work some things out to get the answer to you. Go read Daniel. Daniel prayed, and when the messenger from the Lord got there, he said, I was dispatched. I'm just going to use my own language. I was dispatched the minute you prayed, but I had to fight with the prince of Persia. But Daniel kept praying. I like to say it this way, because he kept praying, it gave the messenger from God the strength to fight through to come. When you keep confessing the word, even though you don't see it, you're giving strength to the coming of what you asked for. You know, some people get the idea that you have to beg God down, get him, you know, hey, come on, you that are parents have dealt with this, you know, Your kids want to do something, and they keep hounding you and hounding you and hounding you until you finally give in. That's why some people think God is, but that's not the way he is. He's already said it here. All you've got to do is believe it and act like it's so. Now, there's not a better one in the world than that young man over there named Craig Wayne Hagin, than if he wanted something. What'd you say, hon? Oh, Lord, yes. He was relentless. Ask his sister. She's sitting there. He was relentless. I think he's still that way, and I think that's why his faith is so strong. He is relentless. He keeps believing God. I don't care what he sees. He don't care, you know. Many people got onto him because he confessed that 2021 was going to be the greatest year he ever had. 2020 was the greatest year he ever had. Some people say, I don't understand that. And yet, he kept confessing it, and guess what? It was for him. And for those people that was going the opposite direction, it was exactly what they got exactly what they thought they was going to get too. You know, God expects you to read the word, believe the word, act on the word, and receive what the word says belongs to you. You know, you have to believe the word of God in order to receive salvation. You have to believe that healing is for you in order to be healed. You got to believe the deliverance is for you before you can ever get deliverance. You got to believe that the protection is there for you before it ever is put into action. You got to believe that provision is there even though when you don't see provision. God's word is settled. He said it, and that's it. You know, the word in the Bible is great. Thank God for it. But you know what? It will do you no good until you have settled that word in your heart. Then it will go into action. You can look at the word and say, oh yeah, I believe the word. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Okay. But do you have the word in you? That the word there on those pages has the potential. It's only when you read and meditate on that word and it becomes settled in your heart that it will begin to work for you. Let me ask you a question. If you did not have a Bible, they took all your Bible, everybody's Bible away, and you're facing difficulty, how much word would you still have? Come on now. How much word would you still have? You only have what you have hid in your heart, what you have meditated on. If you don't have a Bible that you can go read, and you come against a situation, can you quote a verse of scripture for that situation? Oh, y'all getting awful quiet now. Oh, I can go pick up my... Hey, what if you can't? Do you still have the word? I talked about it Sunday. I guess I'm on a roll with this because I did a couple other messages for Sunday, this coming couple of Sundays coming up, and it seems like they're all on the word. But Sunday I talked about the word. you dwelling in the Word and the Word being in you. It's only if the Word is in you and you have settled the Word of God is the Word of God and it's in you, will it come out when you have those situations. No harm shall come by me, and no plague shall overtake me. With long life I will be satisfied. I told somebody that the other day. They were talking about, well, you're getting older and man, all of these things are going around and people are dying. And yes, they are, and it's bad. But I told him, I said, the Word of God says that no plague will come near my dwelling. No harm will overtake me. And with long life, he will satisfy me. See, I've settled that. When somebody comes against me with something, or it comes against the ministry, wanting the lawsuit and all that kind of stuff, I just start saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You say, what are you talking about? You'd be surprised how many people try to file lawsuits on against ministries. Not just this one, all of them. See, you got to believe what the Word says. It may look bad, but if you'll believe the Word and keep confessing the Word, He'll give you the answer to settle the whole thing. Oh, many, many years ago, well, it's, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, I don't know, 25 years ago, you know, we was dealing with a situation and Lynette was praying and she told the attorney, said, listen, offer him this and it'll be sad. It'll be settled. He didn't want to do it, but she said, I'm paying you, so you do it. He did it, and it was settled. The lawyer couldn't believe it. And she said, well, you got to know the Word of God, and you got to know when He speaks to you and tells you what to do. Come on now. See, you've got to get the Word in you, and you got to believe the Word so much that you will follow the Word. Even when other people say, oh, that's not the way to do, man. That's going to cause you more problems if you do that. You shouldn't do that. Hey, if you know you've been meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and He speaks to you, and you know it's His Word, then you better learn how to follow it. No matter what the natural says. Come on now. I'm not talking about going out and being stupid about something, okay? See, if you're not careful, people will take what you say and they run off over here with it. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You want to know how strong a Christian is? Be around them when the pressure's really on and somebody's really coming after them, and see how they respond and what comes out of their mouth. Come on now. When you're under pressure, good things will come out or bad things will come out. I've been appalled lately at people that say they're Christians and they get under pressure and curse words start coming out of their mouth. That shouldn't be. Somebody says, oh, you shouldn't say that. Well, why not? It's the truth. Now you're going to take it back. Don't you worry about it. You'll find when the pressure's really on you and the chips are down, you'll find out how much words you really have in you. When you're facing it, You'll find out how much word you got in you. When I first went to Kenya the first time, we landed in Nairobi. And there was a guy that met us there. I'd never been there before. I didn't know a soul. And a guy met us and he said, "I'm going to put you on a little airplane and they're going to fly you over to Kisumu. And we're going to bring your luggage later, so you just take what you need." Well, we flew over there, and me and the person with me. And all of a sudden, he just did a bank. Of course, I'd taken some flying lessons. I knew what he was doing. And he said, "The weather's bad in Kisumu, and it's going to..." And he said, I gotta beat it back to Nairobi. "Here, I'm going to land on that grass strip down there. There's a highway. You go out there and you flag down one of those." He said it'll be like a pickup with a deal on the back and they carry people. I forgot what they call it. And you go in, it'll take you into the city there, Caricho, and then you go to the T Hotel and you get somebody there, a taxi or something, to take you on to Kisumu. I'm in the middle of a country. I'd never been there before. Don't know a soul. So I did what the guy said. You know, believing God the whole time. You know, I when we walked off the plane onto the tarmac, walking into the customs in Nairobi, I grabbed the guy's hand I was with and I said, "In the name of Jesus, while we're here, we're protected by the blood of Jesus. No harm shall come near us. No plague shall overtake us. And then besides that, we're not going to be bitten by any mosquitoes." And I wasn't. Although I could hear them buzzing around all around. Now, we got a taxi. Now, I left New York. We flew all night. We got into London. And we had to lay over till 7 o'clock and... So we walked around there. Now get on the plane to fly down there, and I don't know if you ever been on airplanes, especially back in that day. You know, I'm talking about 78. They were jammed full, and it's hard to get any sleep. And so, I mean, I hadn't been to bed since I left Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now here it is, what, 2 days later? Nights, really. We got this taxi, and I just got in the thing and said, "Okay, Lord, thank you. We're protected. You're going to protect us." And I went to sleep. And I'd wake up ever so often. It was raining and all kinds of stuff. When I came back over that same road, going back to Nairobi, because we drove back to Nairobi, I mean, it was curvy mountainous roads with no guardrails. I guess, have you been there?
Same road.
And it's rough. And this is the middle of the night. In fact, when the pilot got back to Nairobi, he called to Silas Owiti in Kisumu and told him what he told me to do. And Silas immediately called people at the church and got the pastor, and they started praying, man. And when I got there, he told me, he said, "Man, we was praying." He said, many Americans do that and nobody ever sees them again." I didn't know nothing about it. I mean, I just, you know, I expected to be taken care of and being protected because the word of God said so. I'm trying to tell you, hey, you got to get the word in there and you got to believe it. Now let me tell you what else. I had said protection over us and all of our equipment and everything. The man that was with me left that 35 millimeter camera with all of the lenses, the wide angle, the telescope, all the stuff. I mean, it's a big case like this in that taxi. Now the next day, we'd got in there, and I told Silas. So he sent one of his ministers over. He said, it'll be a miracle if we find it. I said, we're going to find it. You'll find it. He'll get it. He didn't know what tax it was anyway, but he found it. He got it. That's a miracle. That is a miracle, I guarantee you. But you see, I told all that not to put any flowers on us or anything, but it all of that happened because I have the Word of God settled in me. I believe the Word, and I quoted the Word concerning it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. The Word needs to be settled in your heart. James says, James 1:6, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. This is the NLT. For a doubtful mind is unsettled as a wave of the sea and is driven, tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You ever seen somebody that one day, I'm believing God, the next day, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm believing God. You ever seen people like that? You know, sometimes people go to a restaurant and they're looking at them. They can't make up their mind. Everybody else has ordered and they're sitting there, and I've done this my own self. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out what I want. You know, we need to not be that way with the Word of God. You need to read it, accept it, believe it, and act like it's so. You know, we need to get the Word settled in our hearts and our minds. You know, with the Word settled in your heart, once and for all, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, then the enemy can't steal from you or destroy you. You know, sometimes, I don't know about some people, but I know I've been there, and some guys know what I'm talking about. Somebody just keeps on picking on you and going on, and finally you look and say, hey, look, we're going to settle this once and for all right now. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? And you did whatever is necessary to put a stop to it. You know, you settled it with that person. When I was in junior high school, 8th grade, walking home from school every day, this kid, he would just give me a hard time. And finally, I had enough of it. And I spun around. We were right down there. I don't know. We were right there by the railroad tracks, right there by 5th Street and the railroad tracks on where Avenue D, across the railroad track. My wife might know it. There used to be a big vacant lot there. And I told him, I said, we're going right over there. And we're going to take care of this. I'm tired of this. And he sort of backed off a little bit. I said, no, we're going. I grabbed a hold of it over, and I settled it. And he didn't bother me no more. When the enemy comes after you, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to grab him by the shirt collar and throw him around and tell him, listen, and quote the Word to him and tell him what the Word says. Hello. Now he'll come back at you again. Okay? This guy came back and I just looked at him. I said, you want more of what you got the first time? And he turned around and walked off. But you see, you have to learn. In the natural, you have to learn how to take care of yourself. In the spiritual, you got to do the same thing, but you can't roll up your sleeves and hit. You got to do it with the Word of God against the devil. I'd come back from the army. I just hadn't been out of the army very long. I don't know what, a couple of years, I guess, when I got that pickup that I worked on down at Chunky's paint and body shop. So I'm down there. Was that before I went to work for your dad, or just before, maybe? Maybe I was already working for him. I was about 27 years old, and I was working on my truck down Chunky. Chunky Mooney, my next door neighbor, his daddy had a paint and body shop, and Chunky took it over. His name was James Kenneth Mooney, but they call him Chunk. And so he and I run together. And I'm down there working on my truck, because I told him what I wanted, and we'd found it out in the field. And an old man, he said, "Hey, I saw one in old man so and so's pasture." And we went over there, and it was running, but it was rusted. And I'd fixed it up, and finally painted it a really bright yellow color. But I'm working on that car, and this guy came in that was always picking on me. And he said something, and I said something back to him. And he picked up a hammer and started after me. Well, my army training kicked in. I saw a pry bar about that long. I grabbed it, and I grabbed hold of the thing. And he swung that hammer. I took it with that pry bar. I knocked it plumb out of his hand, and I come down, and I laid that bar right there. And I said, "That's the first move." And I said, "This is the second move." And I took the edge of that bar and I laid it right under his chin. And I said, "M.O., if you want any more of me, let's get it on." He said, I think I'm going to leave." I never saw that guy again. But he had known me. We went to school together. And you know, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You got these guys that have just always a thorn in your flesh and giving you a problem. And he's one of them I hadn't messed with very much back then. I was tall and skinny. I only weighed 145 pounds when I graduated from high school at 6'2". So I was skinny, and some of the guys were bigger. And you did, but I'd come back out of the army, and I knew I could take care of myself. But see, I had to settle it with him. If I hadn't settled it with him, I would be there working, and he'd come down there and he'd give me a hard time. That's what the devil does. He keeps coming at you. You got to take the word of God and go to him. Oh, I got to hurry, don't I? It's time to quit. Anybody getting anything out of this? I didn't tell you those stories. I'm not that mean anyway, but I had to settle the issue. And what I'm talking about, you have to settle it in your heart with the word of God. The word settled in your heart, you'll stand your ground. You can't be moved no matter what happens. Okay? Now, let's sum this up real quick. With the word settled in your heart, you can stand your place, stand your ground, and there's not a devil big enough to take you down. Just like that in that garage, that paint and body shop, I stood my ground in the natural. I had to. There wasn't no other choice. That was it. That was the choice I had, and I took advantage of it. The choice you have is to take the word of God, hide it in your heart, and whenever the enemy comes at you to try to take you down, out of your mouth comes the word of God. I said it. Preached it Sunday. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Say it. Everybody stand up and say it with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I hope you realize how important it is to settle the word of God and never go back on it. Say it again. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Write it down. Put it where you see it every day. Read it to yourself. Say it every day. Heavenly Father, I just seem to talk to these people for a few moments tonight, just to stir up their pure minds about settling the word of God. and taking that word and going out and defeating the devil with the word and living a good life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you happen to be in it tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you need to know him first. The ladies are here. The men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you're here and you happen to know that you need to rededicate yourself to God, you know what it is to serve, but you're not where you're supposed to be. Or if you need prayer for anything, to receive the Holy Spirit, or you want somebody to pray with you about something, you come down here and they'll pray with you, okay? Hey, connection team, find our first-time guests and take them to get that special gift that we have for them, our ushers or whoever it was that got a hold of them. What do we say, church? Welcome home. If you're looking for a home church, right here it is. Just come on and be with us. Amen and amen. Sunday morning right here, come believing, come expecting. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. They'll pray for you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. I don't know about you, but that's the way I am. God bless you.